She's every woman. She don't give a fuck, you know, and she's just really funny and sexy, and you know, I wish if I knew that Tank Girl was gonna be rated R, I would have just done the whole movie naked, because I was so mad when they rated that movie R, because there's nothing R in the movie, nothing. The only reason it's R is because it was a woman pulling that madness, and nowadays they get away with it. But you know, one of my plights in life is always to be about 10 years ahead of myself and others, which is okay. Some of us have to do it. We got to open the door so other people get to walk through, when I don't have a problem with that at all. But if we got to do that again, if we just like went back in time, I would just be butt naked murdering people. It would really be fun.
Now it's garbage.
Movie Night. Hello everybody and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night. I am Scott.
And I'm Joe.
And today we are talking trash.
Talking trash indeed.
This is our show to review, spoil, debate, crap on, and give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, and the much debated and often forgotten flicks on the internet. All while asking the question, is this the worst movie ever made? And if not, what is? Because here on the show, we believe you truly can't review films unless you know what the worst is. And today, we are talking about a movie that's tagline is, in the future, the odds of survival are 1,000 to 1. That's just the way she likes it. We're talking about 1995's Tank Girl. It has a 5.4 on IMDb from 35,000 reviewers. And a 46 on Metacritic. It has a $25 million budget.
$25 million. Oh, my God.
And it grossed only 4.
Oh, boy.
I have so much information. I haven't experienced a movie where I did so much research and I did so much stuff and I wrote so much down for you.
Okay.
And I don't even know if I should even read half of it.
Why?
But I'm going to start, okay? Because it is directed by Rachel Talalay. Her career is very interesting. So I'm going to read a whole bunch of stuff that I have on this director because I found it fascinating.
Okay.
She met John Waters and became a production assistant on the movie Polyester. She went on to produce Hairspray and Crybaby with him. Moved into horror with the House on Sorority Row as editor and script supervisor. She was the assistant director on Return to Horror High, the assistant production manager on Nightmare on Elm Street 1 and 2. She became the producer on 3 and 4, and then the writer and director of Freddy's Dead, which was her first movie, and she directed Ghost in the Machine, and then this movie, and didn't direct another feature film again until 2020's Netflix movie for kids called A Babysitter's Guide to Monster Hunting.
Okay.
But in the time since then, she directed and produced TV episodes and is credited with the first American to direct Doctor Who.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I thought that was a really interesting resume, a breakdown. Like, she actually went to school and studied for something completely different, and then met John Waters.
Wow.
And then started producing. And then, so, she literally did every single job you can do. I was reading her resume, I was like, wow, she's worked on everything.
That's really cool, though.
Yeah, it's really neat. It's this movie was written by Teddy Safarian. I'm probably saying that wrong, but it doesn't matter, because this is the writer of Terminator 3.
Oh, the worst one.
And I'll do the noise. It is based off the 1988 cult comic book written by Alan Martin and drawn by artist Jamie Hewlett, who is famous for the gorillas. There is the artist who invented the gorillas with the musician,
wow,
Damon Albarn. And the duo said of this movie, it's a sore spot for us. And Hewlett added, the script was lousy. They forgot to film 10 major scenes. So we had to animate them. It was horrible. It was a horrible experience.
Oh my God.
The project pretty much killed their partnership. And Martin didn't bring the character back until 2007. When he said, we went to the comics graveyard and dug her up. She's smelling pretty bad, but we're gonna put her in a wheelbarrow and parade her around for all to see anyway. This movie stars Lori Petty as Tank Girl or Fozzie Rebecca Buck.
Fozzie? They don't once call her that.
Fozzie Rebecca Buck.
Oh, wait. Fonzie? Or
Fonzie.
Fonzie. Oh, I thought you said Fozzie.
If I did, I probably did, because I'm thinking the Muppets all the time.
Fonzie? Okay, they don't once call her Fonzie in this.
No, they call her Rebecca.
Yeah.
In this. That's the character's name in the comic book. She's in League of Their Own. Right? That's where everybody knows her from, I think, the most.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's the sister of Gina Davis.
Yep. This also stars Naomi Watts as Jet Girl. She was in King Kong and Mulholland Drive, of course. She said of this movie, I'm ashamed. This also stars Don Harvey as Sergeant Small. He was in Casualties of War and The Untouchables. This also stars Malcolm McDowell as Kesley. You know who he is.
I think in the mine it was like 130 degrees. Oh, what fun we had. And those poor bastards in those bunny suits. If you haven't seen the film, all will be revealed.
And then in an hour in, this brings us to our theme of the month, where I was going to put on movies starring rappers. And I did the snuck this one in only because I knew the rapper was in this movie in the craziest thing you can imagine. And I wanted to shock Joe with it. So an hour into this film, we get to see Ice-T as T-Saint.
How much did they pay you to spy on us?
$2.15.
Shut up.
He said of this movie when put on the spot during an interview, why did you do this movie? He was put on the spot. He responded, I got paid $800,000 for this movie.
He was paid $800,000? Oh my God.
Well, I guess we know what $25 million was spent on this film.
Playing a fucking kangaroo.
Is that right? What'd you get for that?
$1 million.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I'll play a goddamn kangaroo for $500,000.
You damn Skippy. I was doing a movie with Keanu Reeves called Johnny Mnemonic, and they called me and they said, would you play a stripper in Arizona? And I'm like, fuck yeah, I'll play a stripper.
Sure.
I did like 1,000 sit-ups that night. I'm like, I'm ready for this. Then the next day they sent me a picture of a kangaroo.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck? And then they go, it's called Tank Girl. I'm like, that shit's so generic. I'm like, am I not with fucking Keanu Reeves up in, what the fuck? Are we going backwards? Do I owe money? What's happening? And then they go, they're going to pay you this much. And I start like hopping around the room like a fucking kangaroo.
$1 million. Are you kidding?
I'm like, you kidding me?
Yeah.
So that was my first check.
Oh my God.
Yep.
I'll wait till later to say something about that, I guess.
Yeah, he's in prosthetic kangaroo makeup. And he is surrounded with a bunch of other actors we know in full kangaroo outfits, including Jeff Kober as Booga.
But actually,
Booga,
huh?
Try not to speak.
He was in Leave No Trace, Hidalgo. He's one of those actors that when you see his face, you know who he is instantly.
I knew his face under all that makeup.
Reg E. Cathy as DT. He was very well known before he passed away as being in The Wire, Oz, and House of Cards.
Mm. I don't think those are tattoos. I mean, like, who would want some alphabet soup? I'd rather have a dragon or something more Aquarian related, you dig?
Another actor you definitely know when you see him. It's also got Scott Coffey. Is it how you say it? Coffey?
Yeah,
Scott Coffey. Coffey as Donner. everybody knows him. He's the one of the students in Ferris Bueller in the Classroom. He was on in Satisfaction, Some Kind of Wonderful, Space Camp.
I mean, it goes on and on. He's in Gleaming the Cube.
He's done three movies with Naomi Watts after this. He was in Mulholland Drive as well. Worked with her a bunch, which is funny, seeing how creepy he is to her in this movie.
Yeah.
On second thought, that could be to our advantage.
That's good. I'm tired of asking him questions anyway. I say we kill him.
I say we hump him.
I say we get crumpets and tea.
Tasty. Crumpets and tea. All in favor of crumpets and tea, say aye.
Aye.
This also bizarrely has Ann Cusack as Subgirl. Yeah, that's the redhead that showed up for a couple minutes.
I knew she looked like one of them.
Yeah, she's also in League of Their Own. She was in The Boys. Yeah, she is a Cusack.
Yes.
This also stars Iggy Pop in a weird, bizarre moment called Ratface.
Not say stars Iggy Pop.
Yeah, can I'm just saying there's a lot of weird cameos in this film.
Why?
Iggy Pop as Ratface.
Oh.
Also, legend James Hong shows up in this film. It also has some weird background actors, including Richard Schiff, who you know from, well, people know from the West Wing. You definitely know him in Jurassic Park 2. He's the poor bastard who gets eaten by the two T-Rexes, ripped in half.
Oh, no.
He's that one actor. He's in everything, this guy. He's also known for being in The Good Doctor. He's been on the whole show as
Isn't
well.
That Eddie? Yeah, Eddie in the Jurassic Park movie.
Yeah,
aw, poor guy.
He was in the background for no reason. One of the trench shooters. Okay, weird.
Weird.
Doug Jones is also one of the kangaroos. All the vocal effects are Frank Welker
in this movie. Of course they are. Of course they are.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. This is crazy. I have quotes, trivia that is insane.
I want to know all the trivia.
Do you want it now or as we go along talking about this movie?
Oh, my God. Okay.
I guess we'll start off with this. In an Empire magazine article from July 1995, included an interview with Jamie Hewlett, the co-creator of Tank Girl, who addressed the issue of how the film was extensively cut following test screenings. The character of Subgirl got cut down to one scene after originally being an integral part of this movie. So they removed her completely from it. Hewlett also revealed that a scene with Tank Girl, Booga, and a 10-inch prosthetic cock also got cut.
Oh my God, thank you, God.
They actually had a sex scene.
I was
filmed.
I was scared that was going to happen.
Yep.
I'm glad it did not.
He said, a $5,000 cock. It looked brilliant.
Oh my God.
He said, the whole scene was very romantic, but MGM took it out. Too bestial. We were going, it's innocent. Like seeing your mom and dad in bed together.
No.
But MGM disagreed.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not like that. No. A half kangaroo, half man.
It wasn't even, if it was kangaroo, man, and a dog.
No.
He says that.
I'm out.
When asked about the prosthetics, the actor said it was like wearing a couch. Oh. Which Ice-T said, when he was asked, he said, it was better than prison.
Oh, okay. I'm sure it was.
Yep.
And he was paid $800,000 for that?
Yeah.
Okay.
He said he didn't want to complain because it was better than being in prison. Devo did the opening song, and they were told to try to make it sound like Soundgarden.
That's interesting, because I get that.
That was weird. That's weird.
It was weird, yeah. Why not just put a Soundgarden song in there?
The director said an hour was cut.
This was already a long movie at an hour and 44 minutes.
An hour was cut. Dialogue was forced into PG cuts. The characters' plots were completely dropped. And scenes forced into edits because the studio thought Petty looked ugly in certain scenes.
Well, that's harsh.
Stan Winston did the effects for this movie.
Yeah, I saw that in the opening.
He took a cut in his usual price just to work on this movie because he really wanted to make those kangaroo outfits.
Wow.
Courtney Love was offered Jet Girl. But she had to drop out because Kurt Cobain committed suicide.
Oh my God. Well, okay.
So she came back on board as a music supervisor.
I know. There are some whole songs in there.
Yep. Spielberg was asked to produce this film. He refused, saying, "It's not hip enough." Okay. Which became another tagline for this movie. They actually started advertising it, "Too hip for Spielberg."
It's funny.
Bjork was hired at one point to play Subgirl. But she had to drop out as well.
Okay, her music is in the movie too.
Yep. They wanted Green Day, who at the time was unknown. But as they were producing the film, they blew up. And all their hits started coming out. They became too expensive for the film. So they couldn't use anything.
Oh, wow.
At one point in time, James Cameron was going to make this movie. Yeah. All right. I actually found tons and tons of what was cut, what doesn't make sense, what edits were made into the film, so much that I didn't even write any of them down because it was so extensive. So if you're interested in finding out more lore or facts into this movie, you can go out there because, man, it is all over the place. I found so much crazy stuff. I had to stop writing stuff down. Wow. So, yeah, that was pretty much my notes that I'm going to read. I mean, watching the movie and knowing what was cut out of this movie, what is in front of us is a Frankenstein monster of an hour and 45 minutes.
Wow.
Okay. Now, if they cut an hour, I can only assume what they cut out was needing to be filled in with comic book strips and in Jamie Hewlett putting his work all over the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like trying to animate sequences for the movie, which is insane because I would say that most of this movie feels like a huge clip show of random bits. We said at one point it felt like SNL.
Yeah, it did.
It felt like they were just improvising and they just filmed them.
I think because a lot of... it was very goofy in a lot of scenes where like I was actually going to turn to you and I chose to be quiet, but I was going to turn to you and be like, are we supposed to believe that all of this is actually happening for real or... is this a spoof or what's going on here? I didn't know what was going on.
Well, the comic strip is, yes, it's supposed to be a complete punk rock take, like a feminist viewpoint of like punk rock.
Mm-hmm.
And just being completely insane. But I don't know if that's easy to transfer. But watching the movie, I think it is. But I don't know if this movie even came close to nailing that. Which is odd because I do feel like there might be something that does feel there for what that theme is. But there's so much to talk about while we break down the plot.
Yeah, well, I gotta say, I really appreciate Lori Petty and how punk she looks in this. I think she looked really, really cool in this. She was a hot mess, but I think it worked. I think it did. I mean, her look is weird, but, you know.
The look might be the thing that works.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The look.
But not the actress.
I knew you couldn't resist me.
No, I'm saying the look, like how she looked. Like, you know, she had the, whole shaved head thing, and she just looked like a punk. She really did.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, around this time, right? No doubt.
Yes.
And you feel that like Gwen Stefani, I keep thinking about her during the movie. Like
I kept thinking about Gwen too.
Like just kind of nailing the vibe.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe if there was a script that she was following, because I don't know how much of the script she's following.
Seemed like they just told her to go nuts.
I feel like that too, but it was like childhood jokes.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. Let's talk about the plot and see if we can make any sense of what the frig we just watched. Okay? Because the movie starts off with a narration, which is a no-no for Scott.
I know you hate that.
God, I hate when a movie can't explain itself without doing a narration. I just feel like it's lazy. And we start off with her voice. as she's explaining something to her us that's also being contradictory to itself, because we're told that a comet hit the Earth and it made the water go away.
It also doesn't rain anymore. It doesn't rain. It hasn't rained in, what did she say, 8 years? It hasn't rained in 8 years.
Someone says that. It hasn't rained in 8 years, and the water's gone. But then we've multiple times, in fact, in the same sentence, I think she says, now we all have to get into the, 5 people have to get into the tub at once?
No, she said 20.
20 people got to get into the tub at once, which means there must be water.
Yeah.
Which, well, we actually see.
Have to use it sparingly is what she's trying to say.
Yeah, but she literally says, there is no water.
Right.
There is water in the next sentence.
Right.
Okay. All right. And later on, someone actually says that the oceans exist because someone is trying to turn salt water into drinkable water. Which this movie really likes to play with the concept of turning things into water from weird ways. I mean,
here's the thing. How much of the Earth got destroyed by the comet? Because there's no natural springs. There's no, like, rivers or...
Yeah, and if a comet hit the Earth, the atmosphere is on fire, which might make it not rain. But we would be living in what happened to the dinosaurs. It would be completely... All mankind would be dead.
Right.
Because the sky would just... The atmosphere would burn.
Yeah.
Right? And... I mean, that would be like an atomic bomb if it was that big. And the movie apparently takes place in Australia. And I know that the character of Tank Girl is supposed to be Australian.
Oh, she is?
Yeah, I have not read the comics.
No.
I knew all about him. I know the design. His art has always been amazing to me. I've always been a huge fan of his art style. And I've always loved the look of Tank Girl, but I've never had the book.
Right.
Like, yeah. I've never had the comic given to me. No one's ever had it around me. So I've never seen it. And it's mostly from companies that aren't around anymore. So I think later on they got picked up by Dark Horse and stuff like that to re-release stuff. But I've never had the chance. So I don't know how it would play. But I do like the idea of the chaotic style here. But let's go back to the plot of the movie, because this movie is completely detached. It's supposed to be Australia, and she's supposed to be Australian, but she's not.
I didn't know it was supposed to be Australia until much later, but go ahead.
Yeah, and which is funny, because Naomi Watts shows up, and she's got an accent.
Yeah, I mean, she's clearly Australian.
Yeah, she's Australian.
I didn't know that's where they were. Yeah,
you didn't even know what was happening when it got revealed, but then they started talking about it. So we see her, she is, we see her whole style, which is just like chaotic, punk rock chaotic. And she's riding on like a water buffalo or something, which is also crazy that there's no water.
Right.
How they have animals. How do they eat? You really don't even know how to question any of this. But she's searching the desert. And it looks like the whole world's desert. And she's searching the desert for a birthday gift for her boyfriend, apparently. And she says, we get the whole kind of narration where they go, oh, there's a group of creatures called the Rippers that kill anybody who wander into the desert. Uh-oh, it looks like the Rippers were here because there's a bunch of dead bodies. I have to look for a good gift. So that's like the plot of this opening, right? And then we cut to her house style, like where she lives and her home life, which is a clear set inside of a warehouse.
Yeah, it's very funny because on the outside it's like a shack. It's like it's a wooden shack. But on the inside it's like, okay, what is it?
It was like, it's like the Indiana Jones stunt show.
Yeah.
At Universal. That's what it looks like in the dark with some sand around it.
Yeah, and they have, it's a huge inside whatever, but they have like a, like they're growing plants and vegetables and stuff in there, like underground though. Underground, because you have to go downstairs to get into that area.
Yeah, there's like a basement, a sub-level, and they have a pump, so they have a well inside where they can get water.
Yeah.
And they're...
So we know that they're able to get water because they have those plants and everything. Yeah. So what are they doing to get the water? You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're doing they have wells.
Mm-hmm.
And they're showing that they are tapped into the water supply that's underground, and they're pumping it. And we're seeing this weird group. It's just like a, it looks to me like a bunch of stoners.
It looks like a hippie commune.
Yeah. But the 90s version of a hippie commune.
Yeah. Like if, like, seriously, everyone from Pearl Jam
got together. There's like a guy from Korn in there for no reason. The main guy just looks like Papa Roach, like, you know, or Mark McGrath. Like, everybody's just like, it's just like, this is their version.
The guy looks like Papa Roach. He looks like the whole band Papa Roach.
I just like saying that a lot. I'm sorry. I should have just said Mark McGrath from whatever the hell his Sugar Ray.
Sugar Ray.
I should have said Sugar Ray. He looks just like Sugar Ray.
Oh my God. This one man looks all like Papa Roach.
Why is that my go-to insult for people?
I love it.
By the way, this is supposed to be 2033.
Yes.
2033, and everybody looks like the 90s never ended.
I know. And it's like, okay, we get it. This movie came out in 95, and I was like, I mean, that was the whole height of the grunge scene and all that.
Yes.
And you can feel it.
They're mixing the grunge and punk rock scenes.
Yes.
They're so different, because at the time in the 90s, too, swing was very popular. Ska was coming back.
So they put Face to Face in there, which is like, okay, first of all, the song that they used was out of place for that scene, I think. But whatever.
It was one of the one times where I went, the song is working a little better. Because this is another one of those movies that has a huge problem. By the way, we didn't mention, was it Graham Revell?
Graham Revell.
Graham Revell. He is the
composer of The Crow.
Yeah, and he's the one that worked on the music for this movie, apparently. And it only goes to show me that maybe The Crow was the only thing that I've liked that he's worked on, because every time I see his name pop up now, I'm worried. Because when I saw his name in the opening, I went, oh, man. Because this is one of those 90s movies that won't shut the fuck up with the music.
It won't. It goes all the way through. Yeah, the whole thing.
And while that worked in The Crow in an odd way, every other movie from the 90s is just, like, irritating.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to use silence at all.
Mm-mm.
A scene where someone's threatening, a bad guy's threatening the main character or whatever, we have to have what sounded like, what was it like? I kept saying to you, what?
I think
what?
It was Bjork.
No, not that scene. In the first time these two characters, the bad guy and the main character meet, they're playing, like, something that almost feels like funk. It was something strange where it didn't work.
It was like Shaft. It was like
Oh, that's later on when she meets a tank.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm telling you, the music is just, there's no, it's crazy.
Abandon all hope, ye who enter.
There's only a few times where the music actually kind of works, but every other time it was so distracting from the scenes that I felt really ripped out.
Yeah.
Constantly. Like, oh, I'm so irritated from hearing the music.
Yeah.
And the movie does it every scene. It cannot stop with putting music in. And by the way, the opening, the real opening of the movie before the narration is a montage of the comic books. And it looks great. And it's a really good opening with the music playing and the craziness of comics, mm-hmm. with the who's
I like
in
that.
It.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay.
That's kind of cool.
I'm liking this a lot. And then once that stops, you're like, oh, yeah. Now the movie's here.
Yeah.
And I got to deal with this.
I know. We have an hour and 44 minutes plot to get through. So let's try to scooch along.
Damn. That's cold blooded. So.
This movie was
she goes to the house. We see like there's kids.
Yeah,
which is like weird.
Whose children are these?
I don't know. And I've seen people complaining about that too. What? She's an asshole in the comics. She wouldn't be taking care of kids.
No, but we do meet her boyfriend, which is kind of weird because he looks like a, like you said, like Sugar Ray.
Yeah.
He does. Like he has that
whole
band of Sugar Ray. Yeah.
You're doing anyway, it too.
Stop. You're rubbing your stank on me.
Oh. I think the movie rubbed its stank on us.
Yes. Okay, anyway, let's move along. Okay.
Well, there's one creepy section after another here. For no reason, She goes outside. She has got him boots, and she put like happy birthday in his on his boots and put him on his bed. And she goes outside to, I don't really know, in the desert to smoke. Well, someone's watching her from a distance. We don't know what's going on.
I was
going to
ask you, is she like keeping watch out there?
I don't know.
Is that her job?
I think she was just chilling.
Oh.
I don't really know, but she also the kid comes out and talks to her, and she gives him the I think it's a little girl, right?
I think her name is Sarah.
Yeah, she gives the little girl a phantasm ball.
Thought it was a freaking grenade.
It's like the holy hand grenade that shoots out the phantasm knives.
Good idea. Let's give this to
this to and she's like, all right, I hope you know how to use it. I will say that some of the jokes kind of work, and you kind of like Tank Girl.
I do, because though.
Sometimes she says stuff, and I'm like, that's fun. Like, she says right to this kid goes,
take off your clothes. No! Becca? Becca! That's you. What'd I tell you? Don't say butt smear. It's not becoming. Say asshole or dickwad.
This is, like, that's funny.
She seems like a funny, she's like a little kid in adult form. It's weird.
But it comes in sporadic ways. Sometimes it's fun, and sometimes it's very off-putting. Like, there's this, she goes and like tells her boyfriend to strip naked while, by the way, some of the worst editing, the opening of the movie has one of the worst editing scenes. She has a laser pointer gun, and the laser pointer is already on him before she turns a corner and points her gun.
Oh, wow. I didn't even notice
that. It's just so bad. And you see that a lot in this movie. When you pay attention, just the subtle details, it's like, oh, my God.
See, that's the thing. I wasn't paying attention to subtle details a lot because there was so much going on.
I pointed out at least
three
or four later on.
You had to point them out.
Holy crap, look at this. I laughed during this scene. I said, oh, my God.
Yes, that one you did point out.
Bad. But she gives the phantasm ball, and then the kid leaves with the phantasm ball, and she hears somebody walking in the boots that she got her boyfriend. Apparently, and we don't really see what it is, but they're walking up behind her.
But
and
how
she
do
says,
you hear that in the sand?
I agree, and she knows it's the boots, and we see the boots, so we think it is him. But I'm not, like, you know, it's not because I'm not showing the person,
right?
But she tells him to stop, and then we get what I would say is the creepiest seduction sequence. It's like really weirdly filmed, and it's her like cutting her outfit open.
I was gonna say to you, okay, this is like the end of the world, and I'm sure that getting clothes in the desert is very difficult.
Apparently for her it is, like, it's a superpower.
Why would you cut your clothes? Like, I don't understand the meaning of this. Like, just take them off if you're going to have sex with this man.
Yeah,
but it turned out not to be her boyfriend anyways. It turned out to be, oh, can we state the name of this company? An operative of the Power and Water Company? Or is it Water and Power Company?
It's Water and Power Company.
Water and Power Company.
Yeah.
So stupid.
It's so stupid. Of course, he's here to kill her and shoot her on sight.
Yeah.
But he doesn't, because he finds this erotic. A girl using, and by the way, they're safety scissors from a child.
Yes.
She's cutting her outfit open.
Yes.
And he's like, don't stop, baby. And then,
It was just so unnecessary.
Of course she is able to kill the soldier, but the other soldiers come in and just riddle the house, and you just see everybody get shot.
Yes, and one of the soldiers
says...
Papa
Roach get killed.
Papa Roach. One of the soldiers says that, you know, you guys are siphoning water, and that's illegal. You're not allowed to. We are the Power and Water Company, and we tell you how much water you're allowed to have.
This is what I imagine Lloyd Christmas in Dumb and Dumber was thinking when the guy knocked on the door and he's like, did you pay the gas bill? Do you know what you've done?
Man.
It's the gas
man. How does he know I have gas?
Yeah. Do you know what you've done? That's how I imagine, because this guy goes, it's water and power. You're ciphering water illegally, and they just start riddling everybody.
I mean, these poor people, first of all, we don't even know them, okay?
But don't even know them.
We see her boyfriend gets shot in the window. Like, he's,
yeah, and she sees it.
And she's completely unbothered by it. She's just like, oh, no, okay, I'm fine.
Yeah, she says no, and she picks up a gun. She goes to start fighting everybody. And the soldiers come out, and they are so bad. The directing and the stunt stuff, is so bad that they're firing into the blank air. They're just firing upward. She's right in front of them.
Yeah, I saw that. One guy was shooting, like, maybe to the left. Like, yeah, who was he shooting at?
And of course, there is no bullets coming around her. We don't see sparks behind her or anything that's getting shot.
They're not even trying.
And she's able to kill at least eight of them. Now, by the way, they also jump out the windows. We see bungee cords.
Well, the house is on fire.
Yeah, but they jump out the windows and they have cords.
They have bungee cords.
And then they're just land. Which and there's really, no cords.
It's just a film flub is what that is.
I don't know what it was.
They definitely left those cords on the actors later on in the movie, too. And we made mention of that.
Well, this one in particular is one of those FBI, the SWAT, when they go down of a building.
Yeah, like a rappel.
They're supposed to be rappelling, but there's only like one floor in the shack, and they just land down on the floor. It's like, what the hell did they need the rappelling lines for?
It was so extra.
Well, she kills them all, but then a ship comes from behind her. Now, this ship has a Gatling gun, and it also can hover like the True Lies plane.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hovering, and it's unloading. But then instead of shooting her, it just lands. And then lets all the soldiers out to get shot by her.
Yeah.
I'm like, why don't you guys use the Gatling gun?
I know. It makes no sense. But she eventually gets captured, and they say, you're going to work for us. Why?
I don't know. Well, in fact, the only reason she gets captured and not shot instantly is because one guy, of course, wants to rape her.
Of course. There's always one.
Of course. And everybody else is like, yeah. Tom, not a good idea. Like, Mom, why don't we just kill her, Tom?
Why has it got to be Tom?
Just first name that came to my head.
Are you sure it's not like, Papa
Roach? He's like, Tom is like, we can all have good fun with her. And they're like, yeah.
Ew.
And then they get on the ship, and there's one guy's just like pretending to sleep, but then he's not asleep, and he just goes, will you stop? And then, no. Of course, he gets rapey with her. He goes closer to her.
Don't be stupid. She's gonna bite it off.
The moment I feel teeth, you feel lead. Well, what are you waiting for?
I'm gonna need a microscope and tweezers. It's like a...
And she's able to kill him instantaneously. And they take him back. And we now get, there's an entire scene, we get to meet the villains before she gets there.
Mm-hmm.
So when we meet Malcolm McDowell, and he's doing a conference with his soldiers, his head soldiers.
Of course he's a bad guy.
And he does, of course. And he is congratulating this one soldier for taking all the land and securing the water for them. But the guy says, and now the next step is this one location where the Rippers keep showing up. We're going to take that next, and we're going to secure this crack or something like that. And he's like, oh, this little crack on this glass pane.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this little crack. And he smashes it. And he's like, one little crack. It's not enough. I want everything. You know, you're supposed to finish it. You're supposed to listen to me. So he makes this guy take off his shoes and walk across the glass with bare feet.
This whole scene was pointless. Just kill him.
It's like one of those, he's a bad guy. I have to show you how bad he is.
Well, he was the captain and he fucked up.
And he didn't really fuck up. He just didn't capture this one spot. And he's like, we're working on this one spot.
Right.
And this guy's just mad at him. Well, he has, oh my God, he has a machine. It's like some kind of injection machine that he can stick in the guy's back. And it sucks blood out of the guy. But then the blood somehow turns into a bottle of water. And what we see is the human being drains, literally deflates.
Yeah. Well, we only see his hand because that's all they could really put in there.
And the guy dies from this. I'm very confused. I mean, you know how many pints of blood? Like, it would have to be taken out of a person's body to even die from blood loss?
I know. And, like, I mean, Malcolm McDowell takes the thing out of his back, and then he, like, drinks the water.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, ew. How does that even work, first of all? It's so ridiculous.
What is this thing?
Yeah. Like, what is that?
Like, what made him deflate? Where do these organs go? Is it suggesting that this thing liquefies the insides?
I guess.
Where does bone structure go? I couldn't stop thinking of Three Body Problem. With that like simulation where they like roll up the little person's like flat skin. Just completely dehydrate them.
It
dehydrates them and they can drink them.
Yeah.
And it only gives you one Aquafina bottle of water. Like a human body.
16 ounces.
Yeah, 65% of a human body is made up of water, right? That's what they say?
I think it's 65, yeah.
Yeah. And they only gave them an Aquafina bottle.
That's so funny. I mean, it's
Aquafina, not sponsoring the show.
No.
Neither is Papa Roach or Sugar Ray.
No.
Or Tank Girl.
So they take Lori Petty and she's a prisoner.
And then he meets her.
And he meets her and she's just a smart ass. I love how smart assy she is.
I do like it too. It's very reminiscent of Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
Kind of like a Harley Quinn thing. Yeah. I can see where.
Here we are going back to DC Comics again for everything.
It's kind of hard because the creator of Harley Quinn, they also created a character named Livewire trying to reproduce it. And they made Livewire based around Lori Petty.
And she did the voice on the show, didn't she?
She did the show. Yeah, she did the voice. And she is Livewire. So they tried to reproduce it. And that came later. Of course, like Harley Quinn on the animated series was like 92. And this came out in 95. It's kind of funny. Like, I think what's funny is that Harley never was like this, but became like this character.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a weird clash up. It made me think about it because of her being also another DC character made for the animated series.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how she looks. She's like, that's fun. I really like the character of like a sassy, fuck you. Like everything is like, I'm a badass. And I no matter what you do to me, I'm not going to show that you're beating me.
Right. She's completely unmoved by anything. She's a very tough character. I like that.
Look, you want to torture me, spank me, lick me, do it. But if this poetry shit continues, just shoot me now, please.
Now, this is very odd. The one guy wanted to be rapey, of course, because he's a man, and it's just every male character in any movie is just a rapist. So, that guy wanted to rape her, and that's why he kept her alive. But then they give her to him, and his first instinct is, I want her to work for me. Now, how many people did she kill? Oh, 8 of your guards. Yeah, she should work for me. So let me torture her into working for me. That's really odd.
Yeah.
And the torture scenes are bizarre. They like keep her in a frozen cell or something, and I think this is the scene that they cut. Apparently, there was an entire scene here, like of her spitting on him and all this stuff. And they cut it out because this is where the producers or MGM themselves said she looks ugly.
Oh my God.
It's like, you even said, you actually pointed out, you said, man, she looks terrible. They're torturing her. She's supposed to look terrible.
Yeah, she's supposed to.
And you actually pointed out. So I think that this is the scene they're talking about. And there was supposed to be an entire thing of why they shove her in this weird thing called the pipe.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm mad about this scene because she is shown as a badass. After she's frozen and strapped into a straitjacket and like completely, she's still telling him off, even with like no strength.
Yeah, and I wanted to point out something to you that I didn't point out to you we were watching it. But so anyway, when she's talking to Malcolm McDowell and she's in that frozen unit, you notice that her whole face is really jacked up. Like, you know, she's got like the red under her eyes and she's all jacked up. Well, did you notice that her teeth were rotted out? Did you notice that when she was talking to him?
No.
Her teeth were rotted out, like really rotted out.
Well, that's
like
weird because later on she has like white teeth.
Right. And then the next scene, she's laying on that gurney and they're going to put her in that
tube. It's white, they show it.
And it's complete, her teeth are completely white.
Well, I also pointed out something to you that there's a huge mess up here. I don't know if she lost her contact and they didn't notice it because she has one green eye and one blue eye. And in this movie, she has blue eyes.
Right. But I thought Lori Petty always had blue eyes. She had really blue eyes in the League of Their Own.
It maybe this was explained in some kind of cutout.
Maybe. I don't know.
In this scene, she goes from green and blue to just blue again. But you can see off and on that the green is coming out. And it's like very, very in your face because they have a camera right on her face. Like the whole screen is her face.
I didn't notice it until you pointed it out.
Well, this thing is real, and this bothered me, right? So she's telling Malcolm McDowell off no matter what. But the moment she gets put into this pipe, they're like, we're going to shoot you into this pipe. And the farther you go in, the tighter it becomes. And I was like, I don't understand what this torture is. I don't know the point of it. I guess just to be claustrophobic.
I guess. It's weird.
But she says to him, oh, that sounds fun. Can I go first? So she's like winning. What I don't like is when they put her in there, she's like screaming. She's scared. Yeah. And I'm like, I wish they would have made her go, wee, you know, just a really like, you can't beat me type of thing. I think that would be more fun.
Right.
And it of course doesn't work again, although she is claustrophobic. She is scared. They end up just putting her in a mine with other workers.
Yeah. Can we talk about the scene where she is to take a shower?
Oh yeah.
I have a problem with this. I don't understand. This man, Malcolm McDowell, has access to all of the water. That's literally what he does. He's like a water like hoarder. Okay. What is falling out of the shower head onto her?
Delousing.
That is awful.
It's delouse powder. It actually says delousing on the wall.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So it was just like anti-bugs.
So this man is sitting on all the water. And
well, why would he give it to them?
I mean, so they don't smell bad? I mean, they have to work there. They're slaves to him,
though. He doesn't go near them. He doesn't have to.
I guess you're right. Ugh. Anyway.
Oh, it's crazy.
I can't.
I couldn't stop thinking about, I think that's like a plot point in Aliens 3.
Yes.
With her, like, yep. And they have to, like, you they have to use this powder. Yeah, because we have lice, and it's really bad here, and...
Oh, God, it's terrible.
All I kept thinking was the whole that idea what's happening. But watching her shower in the delousing powder in slow motion, like it's sexual, is again another oddity that you're like,
this is
I feel uncomfortable. This isn't sexy. Yes,
I wanted to talk about this because I felt like it was supposed to be sexy, but I'm like, ew.
Especially since her hair looks like a Floby accident.
I mean, yeah. Can we talk about her haircut?
It changes a lot.
But yes, you know, because she keeps... Here's the thing about... One thing about that bothers me in this movie. She always has access to the finest clothing and the finest hair accessories and hair extensions.
And Slim Shady frosting or whatever the hell they're doing. Bleaching of their hair.
Yeah. So it's just ridiculous. But so then... After this shower scene, we finally get to meet Naomi Watts.
Yeah.
Right? So she's, first of all, I mean, she has brown hair. She looks different.
She has black hair in this. Jet black hair.
Is it black hair?
Yeah, jet. Yeah, it's like all that, yeah.
She looks so different. I mean, you can still tell it's her,
obviously. Oh, she got those blue eyes. She looks younger than ever.
Yeah.
She looks very innocent. Apparently, behind the scenes, she was very shy. And they had to, like, talk her out of it. So what you're seeing on film is pretty much her at the time.
Yeah.
They said she was very nervous. She had never done a big movie before. She only did bit parts.
Well, I can see that. But, like, honestly, there's this one asshole, like, the main, like, guy. Yeah,
that's Sergeant Small.
Sergeant Small guy. Whatever. So he's always harassing her and coming on to her and just being nasty with her. And she... just completely tries to get away. She's
a rapey incident again.
Yeah, there's always a rapey incident, but she's like the mechanic on the tanks or whatever, or the ships and
she fixes all the ships and stuff. Yeah.
So
and she's also a slave. She's virtually a prisoner.
Yeah, she's a prisoner, but that's her job. I guess everyone has a job.
Yes.
So during the whole, you know, trying to fix the tank or whatever the ship. She's getting harassed by this guy, and Lori Petty sees that that's happening, and she comes over and she says, hey man, don't mess with my girlfriend, and she kisses her, and I thought that was a really cool thing, like that's how their like meet cute came in, because she kind of saved her from getting raped. I mean, she absolutely did, 100%.
True.
And so I thought that was a really cool thing, and I was like, okay, this is going to be a cool friendship. And it actually ended up being a really cool friendship. So
is it?
Yeah, I like the two of them together.
Because she randomly, after she does the delousing kiss, the guy, she's like, oh, thank you. You know, that actually worked. And then, and of course, Tank Girl's like, what worked?
Yeah, she's like, just she was being just a
like,
smart ass.
Like, I really wanted to kiss you. But later on, when for some odd reason, Tank Girl is able to walk outside in the hangar of all their vehicles, unsupervised, just gets in a tank. Falls in love with a tank for the first time.
Yeah, and now they're being monitored. Yeah, they're being monitored though. They're being watched on the screen by Malcolm McDowell.
Yeah, I mean they're just for some reason thought it would be fun to watch her learn about a tank, which she falls in love with, and this jet girl, the Naomi Watts character, sees that she has gotten trapped inside of a tank which has a cyanide protection program that'll shut you in and kill you with cyanide gas. And so Jet Girl is able to put the code in, get inside the tank and talk to her, but not before Tank Girl completely chokes her out multiple times. And you said great friendship.
No, but they do after that.
And not really, because in a segment later on when Jet for some reason walks right into the tank gun and knocks herself out, we have a cartoon where apparently Tank Girl beat the crap out of her. Yeah, and and Jet says, why did you have to beat me up so hard?
That was kind of out of place because she literally just got clunked on the head by the tank.
I didn't understand any of it. I was like, is this really happening? Is this all a nightmare? Yeah, is this supposed to be drug hallucinogenic?
I like, felt like I was being, like, I was on some kind of hallucinogenic drug because I was like, wait a minute, something must have been missing from this part. Because why would you put this cartoon in there kind of illustrating what's going on? But that's not what's going on.
He said big parts of the movie were not filmed properly. And so they had to animate. And I'm like, I don't know which one it is because there's at least four or five in this movie that I'm like, what scene was not filmed? Because it seems like any scene of movement wasn't filmed. Because nobody ever moves from, they just go, and now here's a cartoon. It's so crazy. Well, apparently the plan here is that they are going to take Tank Girl and bring her out to this spot and let her loose. They have injected her with a tracking device, and they're going to let her fall in this sand pit that might be the home of the Rippers. And if not, she blows up. They don't really care. Well, the Rippers attack, and they...
I'm like, what are they even?
Yeah, and by the way, we're at the 56 minute mark at this point. Because there isn't much movie. It's just random. And can we talk about Tank Girl? I guess we didn't talk about it enough. So Tank Girl, what I would say she's channeling is Pee Wee Herman. She's acting like Pee Wee Herman. She'll go, and she'll just like randomly.
Yes, okay.
There's a lot of that. I did notice that. It's just like random, and then it's always like,
got you. What did I tell you?
Ooh, I'm making a joke. Ooh.
Yeah.
And then, like all of a sudden, and then
she's very impressed with herself.
Very impressed with herself. Yeah, yeah. It's like it goes from the badass to Pee Wee Herman in like seconds, and it is very weird. And it, I can see people hating it, but it doesn't bother me as bad as I thought it would bother me, but it's also very unfunny.
It is.
The movie thinks it's funny or thinks it's subversive in some way, and it isn't. It's almost nonsensical to the point where you're kind of just mouth wide open, like the whole thing. Like, what is happening?
Well, my mouth was, as you know, my mouth was wide open because here we are. We're going to meet the Rippers.
Oh, wait a minute, though. Well, so, the Rippers attack, and we only watch them attacking in what I would say would be armored werewolves.
I thought they were werewolves.
Yeah, and you can't really tell what's happening. It's like all predator vision.
Yeah.
And she's knocked out, and everybody is killed, apparently. Even Malcolm McDowell's hand is severed on the floor.
Yeah, and you're like, oh my God, is he dead already? I'm like,
is Malcolm McDowell dead from this movie? What is the plot? Well, who's the bad guy? Right. I didn't know what was happening. I knew there's no way he could be dead.
No, there's no way he's dead.
But even the tracking device is on the arm that it's cut off.
Yep.
So she gets up, and that's when she's like, oh, cool. Like, everybody's dead, and I have a tank. And then Jet shows up. Oh, by the way, Jet has now killed somebody flying the plane, one of the jet and whatever the hell these things are, she pulled a string and shot him out. And it looked so friggin' bad. Yeah. We could not stop laughing. It was just...
It was really
goofy. It was like a guy stood up and just jumped out of on a set.
Yeah.
And just like, whee! And she took over, and she's virtually flying with no glass on.
Right.
Because the guy shot out. So I was like, what the hell, man?
My favorite scene is coming up, because I don't even want to say my favorite scene, but... So
after she lands, and they get together, and that's when they have the knockout.
And yeah, and so... Then they're going through the wasteland, and they come upon this shop. It's a shop?
I almost forgot all about all this.
Because what is this?
The Rippers didn't meet them yet. The Rippers just left them for some strange reason.
Right, they did.
They go to what looks like an abandoned water park?
Yeah.
I think it said Wet and Wild. I'm not really sure.
So I think this was the souvenir shop at like a...
Wet and Wild, I think.
Yeah, once a water park.
Yeah.
And the girl that works there, she's the Cusack.
Yes. And this is the scene that felt like an SNL improvised skit.
Totally. 100%. So they're inside here. And so Tank Girl sees a wooden, like a carved, like wooden sculpture of Doris Day. Now, it should be noted that in the beginning of the movie, when we meet the little girl, she asks the little girl, "Hey, Sarah, are you working on my carving of Doris Day?" Like, it's her hero or whatever. And the little girl does art, and she carved into something else, like another little creature instead of Doris Day. So the whole Doris Day thing.
I didn't pick up any. All of this really went over my head. Sorry.
No, so there's a statue in this shop.
I remember seeing it, but I forgot about the opening. Because multiple times in this movie, I went, oh, yeah, there was a little girl.
Yeah, the little girl Sarah. So then so Tank Girl says to the shop owner, "Hey, where'd you get this?" And the girl's like, "Oh, I kind of raided this little girl's stuff when she was being taken."
Yeah. If I don't talk about the fish, I'm going to be mad at myself, because the fish, what I love about the scene is that she picks up a toy fish. It's like a plastic fish of some sort.
Yeah.
And she starts making like playing around with it like Pee Wee would. Ooh. And then Naomi Watts actually goes, "Stop it. It's not funny."
Put it down. It's not funny.
And I was like, they just left us in. They just kept rolling. And then when the woman holds them hostage, apparently, she just sneaks up around her and clunks her on the head with the fish. But it's like a tap. And the woman acts like it was like, oh, and
yeah, she falls actually to the floor. Goes down. Like, this is like a Larry, you know, hits Mo over the head with like a little clunk. Like, that stupid, playful crap.
Yeah.
It just looks so ridiculous and out of place in this movie. Like, wait a minute. Were they just screwing around and they left this in the movie?
That's what it felt like. It felt like, guys, we need some filler. Just do whatever. And then they just didn't do anything to it. Like, when she clunked her on the head, it was almost like they were hoping that they would do a Batman boink, you know, to come out of the screen.
Right, yeah.
Like, or this is where you like add art.
Yeah. Like a buff.
Yeah, where you splat. Just do the art here, but they didn't do anything. They just left it, and it looks so fake and stupid.
It looks stupid.
And what I love, I cannot think about enough, is this is the character whose plot line was cut out of the movie, because this character never comes back. And another thing that's really interesting is, so you have Tank Girl because she has a tank. We have Jet Girl
because she has a jet.
And this is Sub Girl. Mm-hmm. While I am very confused as to how a sub would enter into this movie.
No water source.
And if she was a part of the story, what would her job be? What would her whole thing be?
Like, I feel like if you're going to cut this character, most of this character out of the movie, then just cut her completely. Because this whole scene was stupid. The only reason we had this scene was so that, you know, Sub Girl could tell Tank Girl that she saw the kid get taken away.
Yes.
So she knows that the kid's alive, and she's like, oh my God, I gotta go find her. So she and Jet take off, and they go to, where are they? Some whorehouse?
This is crazy. Okay. This is another thing that could have been cut with no problem. I mean, half this, I whatever got cut out of the movie, if it was worse than half the things they left in the movie, it baffles me. Like, what could have been cut?
They could have cut 40 because minutes out of this, and it would have been too long still.
This scene, there's a... Okay. This is what's that movie with oh my god, I just blanked out on the actress from Greece and they're roller skating and it
Xanadu.
This is Xanadu. This is something out of a bizarre musical from the 80s.
You know what this is? This is from the freaking Great Muppet Caper. Remember?
Yeah, when except everybody's like... naked.
True. No naked Muppets.
And I was like, yeah, no naked Muppets.
Look, Mother, it's my life, okay? So if I want to live on a beach and walk around naked...
But it does become the Muppets scene. But it's apparently a... Women of the Night House.
I said, whoa. I
Women of the Night. And they're Men of the Night. And it's basically like an abandoned shopping mall they seem to have filmed this in. But it's like all in like silvers. And everybody's wearing silver outfits. But they're just virtually like bikini bottoms and tops.
Yes.
And everybody looks beautiful. This is something I try to talk to you about during the movie. The movie looks very good. Like the transfer that we watched free on YouTube, which is crazy. It looks like very good HD. And I'm like, this movie looks way better than it should. I don't know why we've watched movies recently that look like shittier than this.
It does look really good. It looks very crisp. But can I just say, this is the part of the movie. This is the timestamp where I start getting mad at their wardrobe changes and like how they are able to accomplish these things. Now there's no working companies, there's no haberdasheries.
Yeah.
How are they having all these clothes? Well, where is this coming from?
Well, now we get a montage of how she gets clothes. There's a weird robot sequence and booby mannequins all over the walls.
I don't understand. So what is booby this mannequins. Okay. So I need help. Booby mannequins. Oh, good lord. Anyway, so Lori Petty They're goes busty. In there. Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, you're fired. Lori Petty goes into their dressing room, and there's a woman that's a computer telling her, oh, think about what kind of look you want, and I'll help you come up with that look. But so.
Yeah, and they're. Apparently, Jet and Tank are both being told that they're going to be prostitutes in this place and Women of the Night. And they're they have to get changed to fit a style, to be a certain kind of Women of the Night for the themes. I don't know. But at the same time, the mistress, the head mistress, is talking about using the child from the beginning that she's looking for, Tank Girl, into whoring her out to a man who wants a school child. And it is disturbing. I'm like, what? Like, you keep forgetting this movie might be rated R. It's odd.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to know what it wants to be. Is it rated R or is it PG-13? I can't tell. And we get a whole montage of her changing outfits and comes out in the worst outfit. I mean, sometimes I think the outfits are cool on Tank Girl, and other times I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, what sometimes the outfits are really cool. I actually like the majority of what she was wearing, even though most of the time it's like a plastic bag.
Yeah.
With like a bra.
Like she just puts a random sparkler in her hair or something. It's like weird. Oh, here's a green strip.
Yeah, here's a green strip for your hair.
Here's a random blue shirt now.
Is this actress Monica Bellucci? Was that Monica
Bellucci? I don't know who this actress is. No, it's not her. I know.
She looks like Monica Bellucci. But anyway, so the headmistress, they take her, it's Tank Girl and Jet, and they take her by gunpoint and say, hey, you need to release.
Well, they found the girl first. They see each other, and she's mad that she was going to, because that little girl got away. She actually goes in the room with that guy. And she ends up hitting him in the crotch, and she runs out, and that's when she finds Tank Girl. And then they end up having to take the headmistress hostage on stage. And now please tell us all what occurs next.
Oh my God. There is a whole song and dance sequence that I feel as though I have taken drugs. I'm like, what? Okay.
Oh, and I'm sorry. The guy that she actually hits is Iggy Pop.
Oh, yeah, Iggy Pop.
The guy that wants to sleep with the little girl is Iggy Pop. And she uses the phantasm ball to stab his hand. And he does some pretty hilarious acting. And that's all I wanted to say. Go ahead.
Yeah, so they get on stage and they do this ridiculous song and dance number.
Look, you got two choices. Either I improve that lovely hairdo, or you sing for us. Fine.
All right. What do you want me to sing?
Let's do it. Cole Porter, 1928.
I hate that song.
I'll cut it off.
I don't think I closed my mouth through the whole thing. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It turned it from, oh my God. Okay, first of all, it went from an escape from prison to a rescue mission to a song and dance number.
Yep.
To a revenge flick. And I'm just like, okay, wait a minute. I can't get my head around this. It gets so much worse from here. My mouth never closed from this moment on.
We get a whole song and dance, which everybody knows now how to sing and dance and do the number.
Yes. Yes.
And everybody does it. And there's a whole, an entire musical number.
They could have saved 15 minutes off the runtime by cutting this stupid shit out. It was stupid.
This one blew my mind. I could not believe what I was watching while it was happening.
Now, is this the point in the movie where we learn about what's his name? Hong? He comes in?
Yeah, at the same time that's all happening, we find out that Malcolm McDowell wasn't dead, but he was severely injured, and he lost his arm, and his face is completely destroyed, apparently. He's wearing a Phantom of the Opera white mask or whatever. And they bring in the head cybernetics scientist.
He looks like a Jabberwocky.
And it's James Hong. Yeah, he comes.
James Hong, yeah.
James, and he walks in, he does, by the way, and he gives him a shredder arm with multiple flapping knives on it. And then they say they're going to do all the surgery. They end up killing the doctor or making the water out of her, too. And my favorite joke here is that he produces a giant tong. Like giant forceps. It's like a comical one. And he, off screen, you hear he cuts off his head, Malcolm McDowell's head. We're like, I don't know what's happening anymore.
No, then you see him flatline. So
yeah,
he's clearly dead this time.
Yeah.
Which, okay. So we know that this guy is going to make him into a freaking robot. So I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait to see this shit. It's the most disappointing thing I've ever seen in my life. Yeah,
from this point on until Tank Girl sees him again, he's just basically shown through his hand, like Dr. Claw.
Yeah, so when they showed him, they finally showed him, I was like, what? Why?
By the way, Malcolm McDowell and Lori Petty both loved doing this movie, and they loved everything about it, and they still talk good about it.
They both had a lot of fun doing this.
Yeah.
But I don't understand the reasoning on this Malcolm McDowell thing. He allowed his head to be cut off. Excuse me. He allowed his head to be cut off and so he would die.
And you wonder why the bad guys just wouldn't, like, this is one of those movies where you're like, why don't his henchmen, after seeing the other henchmen murdered in front of them, why don't they just kill him?
Right.
And take over.
Right. I don't understand.
It doesn't make sense.
It's so, oh God. Oh,
all right. So after they are able to escape, I believe that the guards come from them again, but they escape, right? Jet and her, mm-hmm. And then I think they have another montage, but don't they get separated? Oh, the little girl gets taken again, but this time it's the water and power people. and they take them again. They take the little girl. So now they have to get, make a new plan. And this is where Tank Girl says, we're going to go to the Rippers and ask for them for help. And they're like, you're crazy, right? So they go out into the desert to find the Rippers, and they are kidnapped by the creatures that we saw earlier, but we can't tell what they are yet. And then they are both unconscious, and we see them through a door. Someone's reaching in, and they're laying on bowling balls in a room of bowling balls, okay, which is really odd.
It's a whole room full of bowling balls, which leads me to believe.
It turns out that they're in a bowling alley, by the way.
Yeah, so this was once a bowling alley.
It is.
Why would you keep all the balls in the one room?
I don't know if they understood what it was. I don't know. They threw all the balls in there. I don't know.
There's no place for them to go into. Like, there's balls everywhere. Like, they'd have to walk on top of the balls.
Yeah.
There's no room.
So this is where Joe got the reveal. The door opens up, and at our hour mark, we see Ice-T is a kangaroo person.
I had to ask you.
Like, you said, what are they?
What even are they?
And I was laughing. I was laughing so hard while they were talking and your mouth was open. I thought you knew instantly what they were supposed to be.
I know.
And then I said to you, and you said, what are they? And I'm like, kangaroos, Joe.
Oh my God, they look like rat
so
people.
If everybody doesn't know, Joe loves kangaroos, adores kangaroos.
They're my favorite. And yeah. I didn't recognize that they were kangaroos because they look like mutated sewer rats.
This is like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but...
ugly.
Male kangaroo people. It gross. Is nightmare fuel. And it is very strange to look at.
And like, even so, like, you could tell that even though they had like all this makeup on, they still, you could see the actors through them.
Yes.
Like, you can see, like, I'm like, I know that guy, and I know that guy, and I know that guy. And of course, when Ice-T opens his mouth, he has most distinctive voice. It's like listening
to
Snoop. Oh,
it's so funny. Like, he can't turn his neck, though.
He can't turn his neck. He's got, I mean, I would say his head probably weighs, like, no less than 100 pounds.
Yeah.
And he just looks miserable under there.
Well, he must have been going $800,000. I don't give a crap because he is so funny and he is so invested. And by the way, he's the smartest person in the entire film.
Yes.
This character.
Yes, he is.
Because everything he says is actually right. They don't even tell. They want us to think Tank Girl is the badass. But every time this Ice-T character says something, he is dead on right. Yep. And it never gets justified.
I'm just hearing, okay, we see them getting murdered. They're murdering the bad guys, right, from the power company or whatever. But I thought they looked like Predator. They did not look like
this. Yes, they have
helmets
on.
But the thing about it is when you can see them running and killing them all in, like, the quick movements, none of them are hopping.
I think they're hopping, but it's just so, it's done in a way where you're not supposed to know.
They were not hopping.
Well, later on when they're hopping, it is hilarious.
Oh my God, you can see the strings.
Oh, it's so good.
I'm like, wait. And then they were wearing Converse All-Stars on
Yes,
their
with two toes. So someone made them Converse.
Who in post-apocalypse in the end of the world?
So they tell us a story. We meet each one of these guys. And each one is just like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They all have a skill. So we have... Ice-T is the Raphael character. So he's the one that, like, sits back and is brooding and is always like, oh, we should kill everybody.
Well, Ice-T is always brooding. Ice-T himself is always brooding.
Which is a great inside joke is when they ask him, because he turns out these were people beforehand, mutated with DNA, spliced with kangaroo DNA, and they were turned into kangaroo people.
Now, did this happen before or after the comet hit?
Exactly. I'm thinking it happened before because Tank Girl says to Ice-T, well, what were you before? And he goes, a cop.
Of course he's a cop. Of course.
Which is perfect. Perfect. And
my God.
So there's another guy who's the actor from Some Kind of Wonderful and Space Camp and everything that you know.
Scott Coffey.
He is the tech one. He's the Donatello of the bunch.
Yep.
Then, but he's also extremely horny for Naomi Watts.
Yes.
He says a lot of lines and he keeps trying to grab and grope her. It is very crazy to watch. There is the leader, which is DT. Mm-hmm. And that is, Kathy. He is the best character ever. He is so freaking funny because the actor is such a good actor. And it coming out of this actor, coming out of a kangaroo's head, is so next level because he's a poet. He can even play a saxophone.
Oh,
he played some hot sax, and he's a poet, and he is the smart one of the bunch. He could be, maybe he's Splinter. I don't even know. But he's like the leader.
I'd like to recite a poem that I've written.
Oh, cool.
Laugh, you butterfly that dances in the mud.
Laugh, you piece of dental floss. You burn me toast.
Yeah.
And then you have the dumb one. So I guess you have the Michelangelo of the bunch. Well, it turns out that he said he was actually a dog, because each one of them said, oh, I worked at a Radio Shack. Oh, I worked at this. I actually worked. I was like a beat poet. Mm-hmm. And then the one's like, I was actually a dog, but I was a really good dog.
I was a dog, but because I was really good, they moved me up to human being status. Sort of.
Right.
I'm now, a little confused by that.
Okay, I'm confused by who actually did this to these Kangas.
So there's a guy. So they'd say, so there's a guy they keep talking about who isn't there right now, because apparently he left to go make seawater drinkable with another scientist.
Yes.
And they keep saying he is, they look at him as like their deity.
Yes.
And he taught them everything. Now, they said that they were already human.
Okay.
So why are they acting like they just learned human speech from this guy?
Yeah, that's true.
Because they said they learned religion from him, which is sweet dance moves. I don't even know what's happening, because they would know these common things. The only one that makes sense that he doesn't know what's going on is the dog guy.
Yeah.
You know, that's the one that Tank Girl falls in love with.
Of course.
Yeah. Apparently they had the sex scene, and mind-blowing.
Good Lord, I am so happy they cut that out, because I don't think I could take it. I really don't think I could take it.
Yeah, that, you can see the scene that it probably happened after too, because there's a scene where they're just laying together, and that's where she has her giant bomb bra.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. So like,
that's in the comics.
Kind of like, okay, that's in the comics, but it's like so out of place here. Oh, she had like rockets on her boobs.
That's her in a nutshell, out of place here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, it's kind of like that whole situation. This whole movie kind of reminds me of that one line that Data says in The Goonies. The octopus is really scary.
Yes. And you're like, oh.
Yeah, okay.
We never saw that.
Yeah, there's no octopus.
Yeah.
Like, why would you leave that line in the movie if you cut the whole scene out? Yeah. It makes no sense. So, like, I feel like this movie had all of that going for it. And I was just baffled by the whole thing. So we get to see the kangaroos dancing.
Well, the reason... Well, they try to come up with a mission, and they basically, Tank Girl's like, we need your help to save my friend, my this little girl. But they're like, well, we don't trust you yet. Of course, Ice-T's like, I don't trust you at all and all that. And help us take out this caravan.
Mm-hmm.
We saw a gun caravan's coming through. A water, we don't know what it is yet, but we try to stop their supply. So she goes out with Jet, and they have to secretly photograph whatever's in these cases. And apparently all they have to do is talk to the West and the kangaroos can hear them. That's okay.
Okay.
So then they also have to send them photographs though. Instead of just talking to the West, they have to show them photographs.
So they give them this absurd camera to take pictures.
Yes. He made a camera, and they have made audio for her, but not talking.
Yeah.
Like it's a video camera with sound.
Yeah. The camera can digitally upload the pictures right like off the bat.
Yes.
Right.
And also can do video apparently.
Yeah.
So why do they even need pictures?
This scene is so stupid.
And the reason I say that this seems to be audio, this seems to be video, is because she sticks it down her pants at one point. And then they all get really into it. And one of them says, whoop, there it is.
Yeah.
Whoop, there it is, Joe.
Yeah.
And,
I can't.
So now they say, we don't trust it. We're not going to go. And Tank Girl is like, she could do it by herself. So Tank Girl's like, fine, I'll do it by myself. So she pretends to be a modeling company. And Naomi Watts is a photographer. And they ask the guys working at the site to model for them for a calendar.
So apparently they work for the Power and Water Company. And they're doing it. Yearly calendar.
They say they're going to do a male, sexy male calendar.
Like the Chippendales.
Yes. And we have to see the animated versions of all these guys posing.
It's so
And it goes on for way too long.
It's 20 minutes.
And they say they get the reason they're doing this is so they can send them photographs of the guns in the cases. So now we get an entire scene where she gets on her tank. And by the way, they had all, we didn't even talk about, they had a remodeling of the tank and the jet that went on for about 20 minutes. And then it looks like a pile of dog shit.
Yes, it does. It looks worse than when it started.
That's the scene where it changed outfits at least 15 times during one montage. She just kept switching back and forth in different outfits.
Amazing. She has her own haberdasher. Just at her own will, you know, just to make her clothing.
And because they did this remodeling of the tank, it's alive.
Yes.
And it's never explained to us. It's never, there's no reason or anything. It's just the tank is now care. It's Christine.
It is. It drives itself. It understands commands.
Yes, she can whistle and it'll show up.
And it shows up like a dog.
So she rides this thing and she takes out this truck. Now, this is really crazy. Apparently, they're on a Mad Max chase, right?
Yeah, I didn't understand this. Can you explain the chase scene to me and why we needed this?
Well, she takes the guns so she can prove to the kangaroos, the rippers, that she's on their side. And she stole the guns and she's not working for the bad guys and everything like that. And she goes and steals this truck and she almost... Now, my thing is, but I didn't understand, is they seem to be on a road. But then the road is ending and there's a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see miles and miles down from the cliff, there's a city. And I'm like, where the fuck are we? Yeah. What's happening?
It seems like there's some kind of civilization still.
It was like an abandoned city down below the cliff. But I mean, when I say down below, I'm like, they're all the way up in the air.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they're miles away.
But everything looks like desert up until this moment.
So why isn't that city underground, like under sand, which makes more sense?
It's so...
Because they're saying the bowling alleys are.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So they're saying that there's an underground city that they're moving around the rivers. Well, anyways, they do finally steal the whole truck. They bring it back to the Rippers. That's when they have their little dance off. That's when they have the sex, whatever. But they find out when they open up the cases that they're full of sand. That was a trick. And they find the dead body of their creator in the box.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ.
Johnny Prophet.
Motherfucker Kessie killed Prophet.
And so we know that there was a setup of some sort. Somehow they know. Nobody really asks the question, how do they know? What gave them a tip off? Why would they know that we were going to attack? Like, they don't question any of this.
No.
They just go along with it. And now they're angry. So now they're going to storm the base and fight back.
And they're going to go kill Malcolm McDowell.
That's what their plan is, to take down the whole base. They're going to go straight up in there, help her steal, or kidnap her, find her friend that was kidnapped, and finally stop the water and power. So now we find out that when they get there, it turns out Tank Girl is a giant microphone. They've put multiple microphones in her body so they can listen to everything she does.
Yeah, so that's why they already had a jump on.
Yeah.
The plan for the kangaroos had, they already knew everything before it was going to happen.
Now, while they're talking, they're coming up with a plan to how to attack this base. And DT, the best of the bunch, decides to, I got it. And he just jumps up and starts getting riddled with bullets while he shuts down the power.
He's supposed to be the smart one.
Yeah, and none of the other ones go and protect him, relief fire, down fire, or protect him while he's getting shot. He just gets shot and gets killed, and it sends them on a rage.
DT!
Oh, my God.
No.
I'll see you cats at that big jam in the sky.
No.
You remember in Turtles when he goes... and then that's when they're going to go fight. Yeah, that's what happens now. So now they are fighting. Now, we watch them jump around like kangaroos during the fight, which is hilarious. And we see the pulley systems that are attached to the ropes, every shot you can accidentally see the stunt work.
They had a $25 million budget.
I cannot believe it.
And you can see the ropes.
And it's maybe even worse so that it was produced into HD because now you can see everything.
I mean, yeah. It's like, okay, in 1939 when The Wizard of Oz came out.
Oh, I know.
You couldn't see the ropes on the monkeys. Okay? But you can see the ropes here. I'm like, really? Are we going backwards in time? Come on.
Isn't that crazy?
It was crazy for a $25 million budget.
That's nuts.
Ridiculous.
So, yeah, the battle happens. The kangaroos are killing all the guards while Tank Girl is going to go fight Malcolm McDowell. And they have their stupid little fight. And it turns out when she punches Malcolm McDowell's head, it's actually just computer generated. He's some kind of CG nightmare.
Yeah, because so this is what bothered me. They went through all this trouble to hide his face after he got killed or had his head hacked off. So, I thought that they were going to implant him with some kind of, monster, all deformed or mutated or whatever, something. But it just looked like him.
Yeah.
It was just so.
And he's just a walking hologram on his head only. Apparently, his body is real still somehow and is keeping him alive. And it's also projecting everything he's doing.
Yes, but he told her, I can hurt you, but you can't hurt me.
Which is not true.
I mean, he doesn't.
His body can still get hurt.
But
it's just the head. But for some reason, she can't figure it out.
Yeah.
And again, this is where some of her dialogue is so atrociously bad. It's like she's trying to be Muhammad Ali, and it's so cheesy. It's so bad. It's so odd. And everything that happens here is odd. Like, for some reason, Malcolm McDowell just starts punching the support system for the bridge you're on. And just so she can swing around and then knock him off. And he lands perfectly where his hand is on a wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And then the main bad guy kill, goes on for way too long.
Well, just like everything in this movie, the needless scenes, this is just one of those things where just okay, come on already. Let's get to it.
Yeah, because we're also seeing shots of the tank fighting.
Right, which is sentient,
and we're like, how is this happening? And then the tank's alive, straight up alive, but it's run out of bullets, and she's asking him, the tank, to shoot Malcolm McDowell. And he's like, I can't, I'm out of bullets. It does it with his head, with the tank gun.
Yeah.
I can't. So she gets in and she shoots. Now, she has a case of beer. Are we able to talk about a case of beer in a world where they don't have liquid?
Yeah. So it's literally, I'm talking about tall boys, okay?
Yeah, they're huge.
Huge cans. And she puts the fucking cans and loads them into the cannon and shoots them at Malcolm McDowell.
Missing multiple times, not even making clear shots.
I'm like, okay, and I Malcolm understand. McDowell
stands there just to punch them.
Right.
Not move out of the way or anything.
No, not move out of the way. Just why would he do that? Just stands there. But why would you? I mean, I know that they're trying to do every level of punk rockness, I guess. But come on, the beer.
It's not coming off at all.
It's not.
We didn't even talk about the multiple musics, the different bands playing, and the weird oddities of Bjork and
it was Hole, Bjork and Hole and Face to Face.
And the Isaac Hayes theme.
They played I think it was almost a theme from Shaft in there.
Yeah.
It was weird.
There's multiple odd choices on music.
Yeah.
And it keeps happening. And during the scene, it's no different. It's just really strange music choices. While she finally shoots one of the beers, it just so happens that he's standing under a bucket of water.
Yeah, that was lucky. For a guy with a computer head to be standing under a bucket of water that's just there. Okay.
I was like, what? What?
That was lucky.
What is that? What? I just kept saying, wait, what?
So she fires the beer can at the bucket of water and dumps it on him. He jumps backwards, short circuits, and gets electrocuted.
Well, he was getting electrocuted. He was actually getting electrocuted before they shot the beers at him. And he got away from the electrocution. It's just that he gets soaked in water and overloads.
Yeah, it's like
just dies. And
but
we get, and also Jet is now, I guess, got, like, not shy anymore because she did her hair differently and she's not wearing glasses. And she goes and shoots the sergeant guy that was trying to rape her multiple times.
I thought she was going to torture him.
Yeah, she just shoots him in the head off shot. We don't get to see the gore or anything. Everybody's together. They find the little kid. They save the little kid. All the Kangas are together. We have the couple. And then they blow up the plant and release the water. And the movie turns into a cartoon of them surfing. And none of it is making any sense whatsoever. But they're all together. And the kangaroos actually look like kangaroos.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like a better movie is happening. And then it just turns to black and it's over.
Yep. That's it. Finn. That was the weirdest ending of all time.
Yeah.
I feel like they could have cut 40 minutes out of the movie and had a better ending.
Well, I mean, it's so weird. I can't even begin. The movie is so strange that we weren't laughing. And every time I was laughing a lot was because of how awkward it was. It was like nervous laughing at it.
Yeah, I noticed. And I was like, okay, I can't laugh at this because, like, it's trying. She's trying too hard, number one. And you can always tell when someone's trying too hard. It just doesn't come naturally. And I was just like, okay, this is like she's trying to do stand-up comedy at some point. And I'm like, all right, I'm out on this. I can't. It was so ridiculous. But you know what's funny, though? It's still not the worst movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, so that's the next question here is this the worst movie I've ever seen? No.
No.
It's still not the worst movie I've ever seen. It is a mess.
Yeah, it is.
It is an oddity, to be sure. Like, it is it's a real crazy oddity. What do you give it out of 10?
I mean, okay. It was one of those movies where I didn't have a terrible time watching it, even though it was baffling. I had an okay time watching it because I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It was one of those things where, yeah, my jaw was literally on the floor through the whole movie.
Yeah.
And it had that effect on me, at least. I think I'm going to give this a 3.
Yeah, I know. I was like torn between a 3 and a 4. And the only reason is because I feel like there's something here. That's kind of interesting. And all I kept thinking was, if a comic book was ever going to be redone into a movie, somebody could really make a cool movie out of this. Like a badass character that cracks jokes and goes on. Like if it was rated R and it was like a hardcore thing and it was just a lot of fun, like violence with the Tank Girl character. Mm-hmm. It could make a really cool movie. And I feel like we're on the cusp of doing that in this movie, but I don't feel like it gets there at all. But I definitely feel like there's hints here and there where this is a fun little thing. And I heard Malcolm McDowell said something along the lines of, there was something really creative and interesting about the movie, and I kind of enjoyed doing it. And I'm like, I kind of see where he's coming from. If I was on set, I would also be like, this is weird. Enough to be fun. But I do see that whatever this movie might have been before the edits could have maybe been more interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think they should have. The whole thing was just a whole big mess. I think that they structured it better and they edited properly and took out some of the nonsensical crap that we didn't need. There's so much of it, the dance sequence and all that silliness. It could have been a decent film, I think. I mean, the way she looked good. She looked the part. Her acting was not that great. Otherwise, I mean, it was kind of silly. And there are some things about it that were like, holy crap, I can't believe this. So it kind of like makes me want to give it a 4, but I think...
Yeah, 3 sounds right,
I think
right?
3 sounds right.
You know, we did an episode on Barbarella. And we talked about how Sydney Sweeney wants to remake that movie. And I don't understand that. But if someone were to say, like Sydney Sweeney or someone else were to say, I really want to bring Tank Girl back and do something interesting with it, that's when I would be like, that's exciting. That's interesting. I would love to see someone do it. And more of like a director who gets that crazy. Like someone like Edgar Wright doing it like Scott Pilgrim in the way that he did it, where he understood how to make that into like a video game, a comic book movie, kind of an adaptation. It works so well.
That worked out really well.
You can see that he probably would understand it
better.
Someone like that, making something like this very punk rock, would be very cool.
Yeah, that's actually a really good call.
Yeah.
I would definitely hire him.
And like you said, like if an actress was like, that's the character I would love to do.
Yeah.
Then I would be very excited for it. Barbarella, I don't get. This I get. This is...
This seems like a all fun the concept. Feminist
kind of thing that you think of.
Like anytime, like, I mean, if I were to play a character, I would definitely want her to be like this.
Yes.
You know, like punk rock, badass.
You can see why Margot Robbie was so excited to do Harley.
Mm-hmm.
And it sucks that she did. She's always great at it. But it's just that the movies around her aren't the best.
Right.
But you know that there was something there.
Yes.
So I guess the big question is, if this isn't the worst movie ever made, what is? We have our list of movies. Is this worse or better than Cool as Ice?
All right. I think I'm going to hell. I think Cool as Ice is better.
I do too. So I'm going to put this right after Beach Balls.
God. Oh, God.
And number 22 on our list is Tank Girl.
Oh, God. I think Cool as Ice is better.
I do too.
Oh my God.
What's next, Joe?
Well, it's my segment of Why We Can't Have Nice Things, where I read out the two extremes of internet reviews, a 1-star and a 10-star review, as proof that people ruin the rating system and prove that no matter what, there's always going to be someone who fucks it up for the rest of us. Okay. Yeah. Well, Scotty decided yet again that he has chosen the 1-star and the 10-star review for me. Maybe for one of two reasons, and I'm going to take a shot in the dark and say that it's got to be either super funny or the person can't speak English and it comes out in the writing and he likes the way I read them.
No, that's not why. The reason I did it this time is because I didn't want you to have the kangaroo spoiled for you. Also read who wrote the review because I think there's a theme here.
Okay, sure. All right, this is another 1 out of 10. Trash, comically bad, the worst movie of all time. Trash, comically bad, the worst movie of all time. There's no...
And it also says 0 out of 10.
Yeah, 0 out of 10.
Who wrote this?
There's no punctuation. Okay. Ice-T 2004 wrote this one. This movie is the worst movie of all time, without a doubt. Trash. There's no substance. Please, don't waste your money. Crazy director, boring, unwatchable, trash, garbage, rubbish, dumps, horrible, terrible, clueless, pointless, boring, meaningless, purposeless, senseless, nonsensical, and inane. Malcolm McDowell, worst role. Ice-T, worst role. Lori Petty's worst role of all time. Lori Petty is very sexy, but Tank Girl is pointless. If I can do anything, then I banned this movie for the whole world. Actually, I'm Ice-T's biggest fan. But this role is brainless and pointless. Director made very bad work. I don't recommend it to watch even to my biggest enemy. Police Academies and Tank Girl are the worst movies of all time. But Tank Girl is worst. Jesus Christ.
Well, that was Ice-T.
It was Ice-T.
I guess he got sick of his 800,000.
Yeah. Yeah. He's Ice-T's biggest fan.
Yeah. And now, again, the theme of the names.
Okay. We're going with a 10 out of 10, tacky and brilliant. This was written by Tori, 1995. Tori. Oh,
I think it might be secretly.
Oh, God. Okay. Tank Girl is one of my all-time favorite movies. It's tacky and kind of silly. But for some reason, both I and everyone I show it to falls in love with her in-your-face attitude and power. Tank Girl is one of those movies you have to watch with an open mind, because the characters, plots, and well, almost everything else is very unbelievable. And if you criticize it too much, you'll hate every second of it. It's an upbeat movie that at the end will make you want to just be like her. I'm starting to read the comics, and they're good too. A cult classic with a kick-ass attitude. 10 out of 10.
All right, Tori. I know this Tori. Is really you, Lori Petty.
Yeah, really, you're not Lori Petty.
Yeah, I know it really is you. Apparently, she has all the memorabilia around her house.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah. I okay. This is another one of those reviews where it's like, it's tacky and silly. I know it's bad, but I love it. 10 out of 10.
Okay, then how are you giving it a 10 out of 10 if it's tacky?
And the other one's a 0 out of 10. I love that that guy with the 1 is like, worst Ice-T's worst role. I love Ice-T, though. Best actor. I'm biggest fan.
I mean, actors have bad roles. I mean, doesn't mean that we love them any less, but...
He might be one of the best parts of this movie.
He is. I mean, honestly, Jesus Christ. I hate these people. Fuckers. Whatever. I mean, it was a movie.
It was a movie. I'm glad we watched it on, for the show. I'm glad we finally got around to watching
it. I've always wanted to watch it, yeah. So I'm glad we did.
And I can see some inventive things, and it was cool to see his art style in movement at an early stage before the gorillas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was cool. It's cool art, so.
He has a great art style. It's very interesting, and yeah. I can't believe it's not all over the place all the time.
It's very punky. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. Do you have any closing thoughts on this one?
Nothing. I just would like to, bid farewell to the great eyebrow crisis of the 1990s.
Yeah.
It was a really rough time for everybody.
We're going to get out of the 90s next week. We're going to get into the 2000s.
Now. Yeah.
We're going to get with the other ice.
Cube.
Yeah. So yeah, next week is XXX State of the Union.
I guarantee you I'm going to like that movie. I can just... I like
Ice Cube. We'll talk about it. We're going to talk about it. It's insane.
I like Ice Cube. I can't help it.
Thank you for listening, everybody. As always, we appreciate you. Share, like, whatever you can do, that would be appreciated. And I thank you for listening. And hit us up on social media at Just Another Movie Night on Instagram and Joe at The Crafty Misfit. We love to hear your ideas, your thoughts, your ideas for a month theme or movies to do on the podcast. Or if you just want to bull crap about movies, I'm always there for it. Again, thank you for listening. Have a good one. And bye.
You should go easy on the truth serum. You might send them off.
Hey.
On second thought, that could be to our advantage.
That's good. I'm tired of asking them questions anyway. I say we kill them.
I say we hump them.
Shut up! We're gonna take them outside right now and waste them.
I think they're nice. I say we let them go.
Let them go? They're spies! I'm gonna kill them myself. Wait.